I'm 56 years old. I'm starting to have my voice change again. It's embarrassing. I got a rock in my tumbly. That's what that is. All right. If you got your Bibles, grab them if you would, and I'd like you to read with me. I'll be reading from, I'll tell you exactly in a minute, Luke chapter 22. Luke chapter 22. And a couple of things have happened in Europe, and exactly what those are. First of all, July the 10th, my daughter gave birth to a cute little baby girl. And I've seen the fact that she's cute is nothing short of miraculous. Am I cutting out or am I good? I cut up, that's different. Her name is Elaine Margaret Eva, named after her two grandmothers, great-grandmothers who are gone. And she is sweet and cute, and she was born 10th of July, and I was actually working in Brantford the day she was born, and I got a text message from her mom to say, our girl is fully dilated and ready to give birth, and I burst into tears. For most of 9 months, I had been pretty noncommittal. Everybody would say, are you excited? I'm going, couldn't. Oh, why? I was excited. That was, and then I got a text message and went to pieces. I have been a mushy, gushy embarrassment to my family ever since. I raced over. I was working at a repair garage for most of 6 or 7 months. And, I said to them, when the baby comes, I'm gone. And at 10 minutes after one, my phone buzzed, and all I got was, she's here. It was remarkable. And I said, see ya. And I packed up, grease on my boot. I didn't care. And I raced over to the hospital, and it took me longer to walk in from the garage than drive across. I was slightly disappointed. 6 o'clock, I went over to her house, and we had the first time I got to lay eyes on Lainey. She is precious. 11 days later, it was Sunday afternoon, I got a text message from my daughter to say, we're on our way to Children's Hospital in Hamilton because Lainey's got a really bad fever, and we don't know why, and we can't seem to stop it, and she's losing weight. And all of a sudden, that mushy-gushy came out again. And she was 6 days in Hamilton Children's Hospital with an infection that they don't yet have a definition for, nor do they know where she got it. All they do know is that the meds worked. For 6 days, her little arms were so tiny that they could hardly find put the intravenous. And she was shrinking, getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And boy, does that shake you right to your core. I left them for a few days because I was busy with my work schedule, and I knew that sometimes a grandpa going, what's wrong, what's wrong, what's wrong, does not seem to help. And on the Friday, I went down and I spent 10 hours Friday and 8 hours Saturday just sitting there watching and waiting, unable to do anything, really. And that's exactly what I want to talk about today, because what happens to us when something happens that we can do absolutely nothing about? Because the fact of the matter is, life is going to deal some of the cards to you that we don't like. There's going to be things happen, and I know enough of you to know there are things happening in your lives that are not fun. Some of them are health issues, financial, some of them are family, some of them are, I don't know what. What I do know is that stuff happens to us. We can't change. In that process. Oh, this morning, if you got your Bible, chapter 22, Luke 22, and I'll be reading from verses 39 to 46. And before we do that, let's look to the Lord. Father, in the quietness of these remaining moments, I pray that your Spirit would descend on us like a dove, and Lord, that we would feel your presence, and that we would leave here changed because we came face to face with an almighty God. And Lord, we look to you and we pray that you will instruct us and teach us and change us. For Jesus' sake, amen. Luke 22, verses 39 to 46. Verse 39, Jesus went as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, "Pray that you will not fall into temptation." He withdrew about a stone's throw from them, knelt down, and prayed, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him. And being in anguish, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was like drops of blood falling to the ground. When he rose from prayer, he went back to the disciples and found them asleep, exhausted from sorrow. "Why are you sleeping?" he asked them. "Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." Now the parallel passage in Mark chapter 14. They went to a place called Gethsemane, which is the garden. Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him and began to be deeply distressed and troubled. Verse 34, he says this, "Listen, my soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell on the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me, yet not what I will, but what you will." So five things this morning that will help us process when things happen to us that we can't change. The very first thing in that passage in Luke, Jesus went out as usual. If things happen to you that you can't change, what did Jesus do? He went about his usual. Maintain your normal routine. The Greek word here is which means described or prescribed habit. What you were accustomed to. What was customary. What he had been doing all the way along. In a sense, there's the word here for tradition. And tradition is something that we can relate to. Because what? What do you do for Christmas? Your Christmas tradition is to have family together, to go to grandma's, to go to grandpa's, to have our kids over. Christmas traditions when mom and dad are gone, very different. This year, our family Christmas for the Mackeys is on the 21st. We've never had it before Christmas ever in my 56 years. I'm going to boycott. I'm going to have it on Christmas Day, whether they like it or not. I'm just going to show up at my sister's house. That's what I'm going to do. But Christmas traditions are part of our fiber. It's what we always, always do. At our house, Mom always, always made these little chocolate crinkle cookies. Bruce's wife makes them, and they're pretty good. But they're not like Mom made. Mom always made a sweet potato casserole with the pecans and brown sugar on the top. Oh, Mom died, and the next Christmas, there was no sweet potato casserole. My sister got the recipe, and she made it, and it's close. I said, "Send me that recipe." One year, I decided I would make it. And there was one spoonful taken out of it, and nobody ate any more because it was nasty. It was brutal. Because the tradition was that Mom made that, and she made it a certain way, and nobody makes it like Mom. We maintain tradition. Sometimes in the face of sorrow and tragedy and stuff happening, stop those traditions. And what does Jesus do? He went about the exact pattern of the garden to pray. Real value. You'll have school. Cutting out again? My ears are cutting out because I'm only hearing about every other week. At the last week of August, what with all getting in the routine, they get the kids out. Summer staying up till 9 o'clock. At 6:30 in the morning, so they start tradition of getting ready because the routine is very, very part of it. Let me read you from the line. Listen to this. Canadian generation led soldiers operations exercise at a training school did practice. Canadian soldiers developed string exercises, which are operations. Throughout the Canadian Army conducts exercises to ensure our soldiers are always ready. The fact is, they are so conducting their and during practice, they're exactly the same at time and peacetime. Amen. It is peace. That role is maintained so they can't tell from the airplane. They can't tell. So when you're in combat, do routine, and that's exactly what Jesus did. And you think that you can't change. Behooves us habits. So that when we arise, we have godly habits. We rest well. We take care of ourselves. So the first thing this morning, Jesus went about his normal routine. Second thing, Matthew 26 and 14, both passages, they say this, overwhelmed with sorrow. Let me say this. Second point this morning, when things happen to you, it's okay to be overwhelmed. And you will. Jesus, we will be. And the little Greek here, it's sorrowful. Like a completely overwhelmed. And it's stress. And a heavy, heavy, heavy heart. The fact of the matter is life is overwhelming. I read some statistics the other day. This is from the American Psychological Association. And it said, by numbers, antidepressant use is on the rise. 12.7% of the U.S. population, this is from 2017, over the age of 12, took antidepressants in the past month. 64% increase in people using them from 1999 to 2014. 64% increase. 19.1% of the adults over 60 take them. And there are more statistics. The fact of the matter is the use of antidepressants is on the rise simply because life is overwhelming. And let me be clear. I have used antidepressants and will probably use them again because they are very, very beneficial for helping. And let me be clear. There will be people who will say, oh, spiritual problem. Well, I hope those people say the same thing about diabetes. Diabetes, your body doesn't add to the factor with your diet. The fact is there is your left side of your brain and your right side of your brain communicate chemicals, three of which are dopamine, alpha-adrenaline, and serotonin. Turkeys, by the way, full of serotonin, which is why you get being happy after you've had a great big feed of turkey at Christmas time. I'm not making that up. And you are at the stage where your coping mechanisms fail. You know that when you get to the deep, darkest place of mental or emotional struggle, your sleep is one of the first things affected. And sleep is what you level those balances. And you recharge your chemical balances while you're sleeping. And when you're not sleeping, it gets really out of whack. So, second thing this morning is, first thing, do what you've always done. Secondly, it's okay to be overwhelmed. Luke chapter 22, back to the passage, verse 41. Third thing this morning, Jesus withdrew. Verse 41, he withdrew a stone's throw beyond them. That means to wrench away. Just kind of means pull back. Be back away from where everybody is. You know what? Jesus did that all the time. You read in certain passages. In fact, let me read some of them. Matthew chapter 5, Matthew 8, Matthew 14, 15, Mark 6, 45, Mark 8, 10, Mark 4, 36, Matthew 9, 25, Matthew 13, 36, 14, 15, Mark 7, 33, Luke 22. In every one of these passages, listen to what it says. When Jesus saw the crowd, he went up into the when he saw the crowd around him, he orders to depart. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat because he sent the crowds away. Every time Jesus would get crowded and overwhelmed with people, what did he do? Back a little bit. Now, I have a friend who scolds me to do that. He goes, it's not healthy. I'm going, it's not healthy for you because you can't reach me when you want to. The fact of the matter is sometimes we have to push the world away a little bit. We can take care of what's going on in our own life, in our own backyard. We call that a market in our family. And here's what I mean by that. When we were kids growing up, we would get to the stage where we would be behind in our homework or overwhelmed with things, and my mother would lower the boom. And for a 2-week stretch, we called it a Margaret, where we didn't go anywhere. Went to school, probably went to church for the morning service and didn't do anything else. We didn't go to youth group. We didn't go out to play after school. We didn't do anything. We blocked the world away because Mom circled the wagon so that we could get everything back in order. It's like rebooting your computer. You've got to withdraw a little bit to keep the forces away that would throw you off so quickly. And that's the very thing that Jesus did. He withdrew. Not a sign of weakness. It's a sign of being overwhelmed, and you go, you know what? I got to push away the forces that are constantly battering me. I got to make sure that the roof is fixed, keep the rain out. It's good to withdraw. That's the third thing that Jesus did. He withdrew. What's the fourth thing? When he went into the garden, what did he do? He prayed. When Jesus needed calm from the overwhelm, he went to the source of comfort, and that's God. Interesting, that passage in Peter that is your first your memory verse, blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's how he says as well. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of all comfort. When you need a plumber, go to the grocery. When you need a dentist, you don't call a plumber. That's the best illustration I've ever heard. Yeah, but when Jesus needed calm and peace, where did he go? He didn't go into the market. He didn't go into the church. Where did he go? He went into the garden and he prayed. It reminds me of a joke I heard about a guy from Quebec. He had heard about tomatoes in Ontario, and they were spectacular. And he said to somebody, just the second I get to Ontario, I'm going to buy some of those Ontario tomatoes. And he went into the very first store he got to, and he said, I'd like to buy some of those Ontario tomatoes. Store owner said, you're from Quebec, aren't you? And he goes, yeah, but how do you know that? And he said, you go, oh, come on. You don't go to a furniture store to get tomatoes. You do. You need where the source is. And Jesus knew to go to the source. And he went and he prayed. Exchange. Exchange his hurt for God's peace. Dealing came to Christmas. And am I off? You know, I'm going to go back to this one, Kevin. No, I'm on. This one here? How's that? Any better? Can you hear me now? So, back to the question. You ever had somebody show up at your door at Christmas with a gift? I'm going to shut this one off. There we go. I had somebody come to my house with a gift, and I saw them walking up the front gate, and I'm going, oh, no, because I had nothing to exchange. I went racing to my mother's drawer, and I found a yo-yo she'd bought in 1994, and now if you get 10 minutes warning on Christmas morning, Shoppers Drug Mart is open, and you go racing over there, and they're getting a gift card from Home Depot because that's all that's left, because you want to have something to exchange. And when you come into the presence of God with prayer, he has something to exchange, because you bring your hurt. He brought his overwhelming feelings of sadness, and he went to the garden, and he prayed. One last thought this morning. What did Jesus do? First of all, he kept his normal routine. It's okay to be overwhelmed. He prayed. He exchanged. The last thing this morning is he submitted. And he said to God, not my will, but yours. Fact of the matter, Jesus knew the importance of what he was about to do. And I think it was only moments, maybe a few hours, before Simon Judas showed up with soldiers, before Peter got obnoxious and cut that guy's ear off. It wasn't very long before that happened. And Jesus, knowing that was coming, pleaded with God. Do I have to go through this? And I have had enough things go wrong in my life. Laney being the most recent one, where you go, why do my kids have to do this?
For 6 nights, my daughter and her husband slept on a pull-out chair, the two of them. He at the top, she at the bottom, curved around each other like yin and yang. She said when they came home, first night home, she said, we were going to buy a king-size bed. She goes, now that we've slept on that thing for 6 nights, the queen bed is huge, Daddy. We're not going to change beds. And I sit back and I go, why do they have to go through that? I don't know the answer to that question. And here's the thing. We won't know the answer to the question, why are we going through some of these things? What is God asking of us to say? Not my will, but His. He's got purpose that we can't see sometimes in bringing you what you're going through. My question is, are you going to let Him do what He wants to do? Paul, you know what you're asking, right? You go, yeah. Because the cards that we get dealt in life are not very nice, are they? They're not. They hurt. They affect everybody around us. The easy thing, I just want to quit. Things get tough, I'm going to quit and go home. Well, John Greenfield Whittier wrote these words. When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high and you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is weird with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won if he'd stuck it out. Don't give up, though the pace seems slow. You may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the knight slipped down how close he was to the golden crown. Success is failure turned inside out, the silver taint in the clouds of doubt. And you can never tell how close you are. It might be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worse that you mustn't quit. I do know that God sees around the corner. He sees where you're going to end up, and He sees how He's going to get you there. Stick it out and don't quit. Let's pray. Father, thank You that You have been tested in all areas like we were and still without sin. Lord, I thank You that You promise to walk with us when the hurt happens and when the things are dealt to us that we can't handle. Lord, it's so comforting to know that You were overwhelmed. It just helps us understand that maybe we're not so far off the path and that You do truly understand. So, Father, as we leave from here, I pray that the path ahead is one that You will enable us to walk on and that You will walk with us. And, Lord, in the end, it is our desire that it will be Your will that is done and not ours. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.